Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen. If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 4. And I've entitled, if you have your cell phones, scanners, fax machines, if you could put them on, the silent or opposition. So I entitled this morning's message, The Brightness of His Glory. The Brightness of His Glory. Let me just say this. I was sharing this with the prayer team this morning before we came out to pray. I've only seen this one time in my whole life. It was about 25 years ago. I was at North Park Apostolic Church at the time. And the founder, Raymond Trout, you guys all know Bishop Trout, his father was still the residing bishop there. And there was an anointing on him like no other. But we had an all-night prayer and worship. It started about 7 in the evening. It went all the way until 8 in the morning. And about 11 o'clock that night, the worship was so intense. Everyone was just crying out. You know, the instruments got louder. The voices got louder. The congregants got louder. And they were just praising him with their whole heart. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and everyone looked up. And there was the glory cloud came. There was a cloud hovering just above, under the ceiling. And we were going, wow, look at that. And everyone in that place was like drunk in the Holy Spirit. That the power was so thick in there, you could cut it with a knife. And across the street, a gas station attendant, the windows were open, and he thought he saw smoke. He called the fire department. Fire department came. And they went in there. You know, they came in there with their hatchet and their whole everything. And they saw it too. And they go, oh my gosh, this is not smoke. We don't know what it is. And then everyone was saying, it's the glory cloud. You're welcome to stay. I've never seen that since. And so I'm sharing this with you because it was the Shekinah glory is real. If you've never been engulfed by the Spirit of God, you need to do so. You need to have an encounter with Him. Because we could have a whole bunch of head knowledge, know who Jesus is, get baptized and all that. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost dwelling inside, what I'm saying to you is foreign right now. You have no clue. And you're powerless. You'll still do those addicting sins. Because He hasn't set you free. But when you receive the power of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, things change internally. He takes away your potty mouth right away. Can I get an amen? You can't even go. Just for instance, on a computer. You know how you can delete files and throw them in the trash bin? Well, guess what? You can still retrieve them. Well, God deletes the trash bin. Hallelujah. And He deletes that language from you. And then also the desires that were so addicting and ungodly, those things, He gives you pure thoughts. He gives you visions and dreams of Him. You want Him more than anything else. Listen, if you're not madly in love with Jesus, something is out of order. Because it's all about Jesus. Can I get amen? We're here because of Him. We have gathered this morning because of Him. And so we're going to talk about the brightness of His glory. And so if you're there in Hebrews chapter 1, Let's read the word of God 1-4, and it reads, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Who's his Son? The Lord Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. Christ made all the world. He made all the worlds. Did you know that he was in the Old Testament too? And the New Testament. Can I get an amen? Look at verse 3. Who being in the what? Brightness of his glory. This is where I got the topic of this message. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged. Look what he did. He just didn't remove our sins. He purged them. Meaning his blood had to go deep in our soul. He couldn't just scrape them off. He had to purge them. You ever had to purge gold? It has to melt and melt and melt to purge and get all the impurities out. His blood purged our soul so that we can be saved. Listen, you've heard me say it like this. Unless a soul truly repents and turns to God and asks God for forgiveness of sins and all that, that's when he will apply the blood. And once he applies the blood, now his spirit can live inside you. He will not live inside a tainted person who has not repented and that is not washed in the blood. But true confession brings on repentance. And then here comes the Holy Ghost. See, God is holy. And so, have you ever thought of that? Just think for a moment. How does God dwell in us and we're sinful? Well, when he gave us the heart to repent and we turned to him, and then many of us got baptized, then he poured out his blood and purged us. Right here, you're seeing the word. He purged our sins. Now, the Holy Ghost could come in and reside in us. Isn't that something? How many are so blessed and all that? How many want that for their life? Amen. Amen. Look at this. And then he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So, we're going to look at this. God is light. Light. Not a light bulb, but light. Pure light. He's so bright, we would disintegrate right before him. Our flesh cannot contain his glory. We're going to see why. But look at this in 1 John. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is no sin, no darkness in God. Before we come to him, we're filled with darkness and sin. Can I get amen? Amen. You heard just a taste of Sister Carla when she was saying what God delivered her from. But we were all in that state of mind. We were all in that condition. We all needed a doctor. Can I get an amen? Amen. We needed Dr. Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Okay, so we can be religious about our life. We can say, yeah, I believe. Yeah, I got baptized, yeah. And yet, you're still living in sin. Can I get amen? Amen. We have to live pure before God now. Can I get amen? Amen? Especially those who are courting or dating they have a fiance now. You need to be holy. You need to protect that other person. The way you protect that other person is you don't tempt that other person. Can I get amen? Amen. So, I respect you enough. I'm not going to tempt you. Because I don't want to be tempted. Because I want to be right before God. Until God, we come to the altar and say, I do. Can I get amen? Amen. Are we clear on that?
Yes.
Franklin Graham made it clear last night, if you weren't there. Woo, he made it clear. I tell you, he's my preacher. Thank you, God. Now look at this in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But here's the key right here in verse 9. But if we confess our sins, say that with me. If we confess our sins, one more time. If we confess our sins, look at this. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from what? Some? Oh, I don't know about all of that. No, all unrighteousness, right? And if we say that we have not sinned, then we make what? God a liar. And his word is not in us. Well, I don't need to be. I'm all right. I don't need to be baptized. I don't. You know what? I believe. That's all right. I was raised in church. I'm good. No, you're not. You're headed to hell unless you repent. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I'm just quoting what Franklin Graham. Man, he said it straight out yesterday. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you're going to hell. Wow. I said, thank you, God. Someone's bold to preach to millions. Hallelujah. Woo! Man, I wish all of us were there. I got out of my seat and I ran to Carla because she was one of the ushers. Because there was a good, 15,000 there at least? It was a whole bunch of folk. And I said, he's preaching. He's preaching my song. Preachers love truth. If you're walking in the anointing of God, you're going to love truth. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And so we have to understand that God is a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire. And when he comes upon you, just like I said, he purges you. He consumes every iniquity. But guess what? At the very end of when judgment comes, he's not going to flood the earth. He's going to consume this earth by fire. Why? Because this earth needs to be purged now. Did you know that all the sin that's around the world, they're not going to change. They're going to stay the same. A lot of them will stay the same. And so God has to now come and purge the earth. But he'll take the church out of the way. How many can't wait? God's going to take us out of the way. Come on. That's how much he loves us. He's going to move us out. You go, I got to get my kids out first. Praise God. And so, look what Hebrews 12:28 says. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. My. Listen. This is not about playing with God. You know, when you were a kid, how many times did your parents tell you, don't play with matches. Don't touch the stove. Don't touch that stove. Why? Why can't I touch the stove? And then when your back is turned, they go and touch it. Wah! When it comes to our eternal soul, Don't play with God. You better mean it. See, God, here I am. I surrender, God. I need you, God. Brother G, my older brother, he used to say it like this. You know, he was gangster. He's OG. He said many people, they fake the funk. In other words, they walk around, praise the Lord, God bless you, and still go home and live like the devil. Oh, come on. Yeah, they come home, they kick the dog. They slap the wife. Oh, come on. Yeah. But they'll say, praise the Lord at church. God bless you. Have a fake smile, the whole works. Look at this. Moses was the first to encounter God's brightness. So we're going to look at a little bit of the Old Testament. We're talking about the brightness of God, the glory of God. So we need to be... We need to be educated. We need to have wisdom. We need to have knowledge about his brightness. Because let me just say this. When we get to heaven, the new bodies that we have, we will be able to contain His full glory without being disintegrated. Right now, we can't. If we were to stand in front, it'd be like a million suns. We can't even look at the sun on a bright, sunny day. It'd burn your eyes. You have to turn away. Just imagine a million or a trillion suns, and we're not even close to the glory of God. And we will not be consumed, because we'll have that brand new body like His. How many can't wait for that body? Amen. It will have no disease, no diabetes, no cancer, no high blood pressure. Come on. Fibromyalgia, or whatever it's called. Yeah, yeah. Oh, everything hurts. Oh, come on. Everything will be gone. You'll have a new body. How many can't wait for that? Amen. So let's take a look at Moses right here in Exodus 33. Look at this. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has found grace in his sight. Come on, we're here by his grace. Can I get an amen? We didn't deserve this great salvation. It's by his grace. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. He wanted to see his glory. Moses wanted to go deeper. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Oh, we're talking now how God is sovereign. I need you to catch this part. The Lord is saying, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Turn to your neighbor once again. He has had compassion on you. And then say this. He was gracious to you. You got to understand, we did not choose God. He chose us. Can I get amen? Amen. He drew us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Bible says no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. He had to quicken us from our dead state. Many of us, we were walking zombies, the walking dead. We were alive but dead. Stinking dead. And then he quickened us, made us come alive. And now we are the people of the Most High God. Praise God. Look at this. No one can contain God's glory. No one. No one on this earth. In our human state, no one can. Look at this. In verse 20, chapter 33 and verse 20, look at this. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. This is God telling him, you look at me, you're going to die on the spot. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by. Then I will put you on the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take my hand and show you, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Okay. Who is this that's covering his face with his hand? This, no, he says, I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Who's the one that's covering Moses' face? Yeah, let's go a little clearer with this. Jesus was in the Old Testament. Can I get an amen? Amen. That was him. He was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can I get amen? Amen. So this was Jesus. No, I'm not going to say that, Katharina. She thought I was going to say Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. You know who says that all the time? It's Miles McPherson at the Rock. I just tattled on you, Miles, if you're watching. And then he says, I will take my hand, and you shall see my back. You see, you can't see God face to face. But the Bible says when we are changed, we will be like him. Then we will see him face to face. Can I get an amen? Amen. So, my friends, no mortal can view God's excelling splendor without utterly overwhelmed and disintegrated. The glory of God puts the pride of man to shame. You see, because he would have just not only blew up, but the reason why you can't see him in our condition is because of the sin in our members. Even we can't see him. Even though we're saved, we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we still cannot see Jesus face to face. Why? Because our members still have sin, and he is holy. You got to remember, that's why we have to be like him. Then we'll be able to see him face to face. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look what Isaiah wrote this too, as well. Look at this. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. I can't wait when Jesus comes to rule and reign. Did you know he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem? That's why it's such a contested place. That's why the enemy is trying to exterminate the Jews. Why? Because that's where Jesus is going to rule and reign from. This is not a Palestinian thing. No, God put him there. And you know what? 95%, you know what baffles me? 95% of the Jews in Israel, they're secular. They don't even know who God is. They just know that I had to come. So God's calling them from all corners of the earth. But why is he bringing them all there now? Why? Ask yourself why. Because in Zechariah gives you the clue. Because when Jesus comes back, he's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives. And guess what he's going to show them? He's going to show them his nail-pierced hands. He's going to show them the side. And then they're going to fall on their face. They're going to say, you are the Messiah, Yeshua. Right now, they're looking for a man. The Muslims are looking for the 12th Aman. They're looking for chaos. They had to bring chaos to bring their Messiah. But us Christians, born again, we know who it is. It's Jesus, hallelujah. The true and living God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's right. And some of those Jews are still going to be hardened in their heart, and they're not going to receive him. But the majority of them will. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that God has everything in control? So some people say, man, look what everything's happening. Look at the mass shootings. Look at the border. You know, did you know that there's now 25,000 Chinese that have crossed? They are all men. And they're all in the fighting range. They've come across. Why? Somebody brokered a deal with them to come and cause havoc. They're bringing them over here. They're not here to get a job. They're here to plot and plan. Listen, this is just off the cuff here. I showed you guys last week. April 8th is going to be the last solar eclipse that's coming across our land. When there's two like that, within a seven-year period, it means war's coming. War's coming to our land. Because the last time it happened like that, go back in history, I showed it. There was the American War, and then there was the Civil War with the solar eclipse coming across our land. That's God marking it. And guess what? That last one on April 8th is Nisan 1 on the biblical calendar. So if you're not watching the biblical calendar, you're not going to have a clue what's happening. So from April 8th next month, Everyone's going to, the whole nation's going to see it. We're going to see it from San Diego. We're going to see that solar eclipse. You got to put glasses on. God's marking this country for judgment. Because the Hebrews already know it's all in their writings, in the Talmud, in the Old Testament, that a lunar eclipse, which is a blood moon, is tribulation for Israel. And look what happened since 2014, 2015. They're in war, constant war. And look what happened when the first solar eclipse came from Oregon all the way down to South Carolina in 2017. Because they come in twos like that. Guess what happened after that? COVID came. Our economy is falling apart. Our interest rates went from 3% to almost 9%. Inflation. You go to Costco and you want to buy 3 steaks, you put it back down. It's no longer $25. For 3 steaks, it's $60. Sometimes it's $70. Going to dinner. One person now is $20 at least. I'm glad you go there and I don't. No, but seriously, since that first solar eclipse that came, everything has been, it was showing that something's coming. And we got the worst, I mean, everything is, but let me just say this. It looks like everything's falling apart, but guess what? It's all falling in place. Because God said at the end of times, it was going to be chaotic. Right before he judges the world, there's going to be chaos everywhere. That's right. He's coming. He's coming. Now, the April 8th one, that's next month, that's gonna be 7 years to 7 years. It's going to be a Shemitah cycle. My goodness. And it's going to be seven years to the day. And mark it on your calendar. Oh, you're all going to see it. It's going to be on the news. It's coming. Tomorrow's going to be the big eclipse. We're going to see it. All of us are going to see it. It's not that something's going to happen on that day. God's marking it because something big is coming now. Bigger than what we saw. Bigger than the pandemic. So my message is the past 6 months is to get right before God. Get close to God. Get your heart, get your house in order. Get your house in order. Can I get amen? Amen. Do the right thing before God. This precious couple that's getting baptized, they're doing the right thing. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not a coincidence. This is God's timing. This is God's timing for you. Nobody want to get left behind. Can I get amen? And nobody want to get left behind. Jesus, help us. Look what 1 Timothy wrote right in here. Look at this. It says that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ is appearing. So this is our exhortation. Be right before God. When you get tempted to sin, man, bind it, rebuke it. Say, I'm not going there. Look at this. Which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light. You see that? Right now his light is unapproachable. We can't even touch it. We can't even see it yet. Whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So we have the New Testament confirming what the Old Testament saints said, especially Moses. God had to cover his face. And here in the New Testament, no one can see him. You know, when You got to be real careful. Oh, yeah, Jesus came to my room. And we, yeah, and we were talking. He was on my, really? And you're still alive? Be careful when someone, okay. And I hope you didn't have too much pizza from last night. Be careful. Because the Bible, I'm gonna have to put it up to the Bible here. I got to test it with the Word. Jesus appeared in your room and you spoke to him? It says, whom no man has seen or can see. Wow. Be careful, because a lot of folks like to go to the twilight zone. Ding, 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 ding. Huh? Yeah, yeah, they'll go Rod Serling on you. Be careful. He speaks to our spirit, who gives visions and dreams, but to see him face to face, just remember that scripture and say, really? Saints, often in the Old Testament, the manifestation of God's glory was accompanied by supernatural fire, thick clouds, and a great quaking of the earth. I'm telling you, when he would come down, especially from Mount Sinai, people knew it. Well, just imagine when he comes in the clouds to take us home. This whole world's going to go into panic. You know why? Because we're going to be gone. We're going to be gone. And the ones that we kept telling over and over and over again about Jesus, they're all going to fall on their face and cry out and say, why didn't I listen? And this, you know what? The bottom line for them, because we're not going to be here. We're going to be with him for 7 years at the marriage supper of the Lamb, celebrating the marriage supper of the Lamb with him. Down here, they're going to be so out of whack that that's where the Antichrist will come in now and lead them. You know why? Because they were listening to the devil's voice all the time. The whole time. They weren't listening to God's voice. If they were, they would have repented and came up. Come on, I'm just making sense here, right? So they've been listening to the wrong voice. So they're going to continue to listen to the wrong voice. You see, saints, we see these phenomena when God gave the law to Moses. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. And the smoke billowed up from it. It was like a furnace. And the whole mountain trembled violently. And where do we see this at? Where do we see this at? Look at this in Deuteronomy. Look at this. And you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet still lives. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die. They were panicking. Man, they heard the voice, but they just couldn't see him. God wouldn't allow him to be revealed to them. Wow. Well, they would have been consumed. Look what 1 Kings says right up here, written down in 1 Kings. And it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled what? The house of the Lord. You see, that cloud, I shared with you in the opening of this message, I saw this cloud with my own eyes. It's called the Shekinah glory. It filled the house of the Lord so that the priest could not continue ministering because the cloud, for the glory of the Lord, filled the house of the Lord. When that happened that night, we all went to our face. And it was so thick in there. Pastor Art, were you there when that happened? You weren't there yet, huh? My goodness. By not much, but wow. Incredible. I when I see Bishop Trout, we always talk about that glory cloud. He goes, oh, yeah. It only happened that one time, and it happened. Look at what Isaiah wrote. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I believe there's a song they took out of this. Above it stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So when Jesus comes back to rule and reign from Jerusalem, the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth. How many can't wait for that? Listen, there will be no more sin. When he rules, there's not going to be no more sin. There ain't going to be 500 cable channels to choose from to watch violence, to watch sex, to watch all that stuff. All the filth is going to be gone. Can I get an amen? All the cursing movies. All the bleepity, bleepity, bleep. And then Jesus Christ comes out of their mouth. He's going to eradicate all that. It's going to be pure and holy. It's going to be like when you were like 5 years old. You know how you were five, learning how to ride your bike. You were innocent. You didn't know anything about sin. You didn't know anything. You were just enjoying being that tiny and alive. Well, just imagine. It's going to be something similar to that as adults, but yet there will be no sin. Hallelujah. There'll be no one being apprehended. There'll be no prisons. There'll be no jail. There'll be no hospitals. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And then, after the 1,000-year millennial reign, then old Slewfoot's going to be let out of the pit. He's going to try to deceive one more time. And that's when God, Jesus, is going to grab him by the nape of his neck and toss him into the lake of fire. And then God will have prepared the new Jerusalem. And it's going to descend from heaven. It's going to come down. And we're going to live in that new Jerusalem. Woo, man. Listen, if you only just hang on. Don't throw in the towel. God has so much in store for you and I in the future that it's going to be mind-boggling, mind-blowing. But you know what he wants you to do? Trust him and believe it by faith. Just believe by faith what he's going to do and what he's going to do for you. And guess what? He's going to take care of it. God cannot lie. He's not a man. So if he said that's what he's going to do, guess what? That's what he's going to do. Can I get amen? Amen. Saints, the prophet Ezekiel's vision of the glory of God was full of fire and lightning and tumultuous sounds, after which he saw that looked like a throne. And high above on the throne was a figure like a man. It says it right here. Look at this in Ezekiel 1:26. And above the firmament, over the heads, was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man, high above it. Look at this in verse 27. Also from the appearance of the waist and upward I saw, as it were, the color of amber, with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around. Wow. Look at this. In verse 28. Like the appearance of a rainbow on a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. God's going to show us some wild things when we're there with him. It's going to be so mind-blowing. And guess what? Those of you who still like to have a nice dinner and go out with your family, God's going to have food for us up there. Because those new bodies are going to be able to eat. He did. Remember when he rose again? He was on the seashore with his... He was having a Rubio taco, I think, wasn't he? Fish. He was having fish and bread, right? He ate with them. I saw that. I go, oh, God, You thought of us. God thought of us. Because it says we're going to be like Kim. But I believe it's going to be so blessed. Man, I can't. How many can't wait to be in his presence where we see him face to face? For me, I don't know about you, but when I get to see him for the first time, I'm going to fall at his feet. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, the glory and brightness of God is Jesus. He is the glory of God. Look at what it says in John chapter 1. Look at this. And the Word, Jesus is the Word. Can I get amen? Amen. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is why the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and all these religious folks, they hated him. Why? Because he would put them in their place. He would call them vipers of snakes. He would tell them that you guys are filled with dead men's bones. He goes, you guys need to wash the inside of your cup, not just your outside. So they looked all pompous with the robes. And they looked at us common folks as pity on us. We were basically worthless to them. But Jesus, look how he came to us. He was born where pigs and sheep and goats were in a cave. And they laid him in a feeding trough. They put a blanket down. Where the animals ate their food, they laid them in that. That's how he came. He didn't come to all the high government officials. He didn't come to any of the king's palaces to be born there. He had us in mind. He came down to be like us so that he would die for your sin and my sin. How many are so blessed to know that he died for our sins? Praise God. So Jesus came as a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for us. He came so that we would know. Look at this in Luke 2. In Luke 2:25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Okay, I'm going to read you this story, but how many of you guys read or seen the movie The Ten Commandments? It comes on once a year. It comes on once a year. What Hollywood did, they took what I'm going to read you and they put it in the story of Moses. Because when Moses was in the mud pits, remember in the movie? Okay, there was an old man and they killed the old man and he was dying in the mud pits. And he looked up, he goes, I waited my whole life to see the deliverer with my own eyes and I'll never get to see him. And then he died. But he was looking at Moses. Because Moses was in the mud pits, right? So they took this story and put it in there. And so we know that was Hollywood. But this is the real story. Look at this. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So in other words, he was promised, you're going to see him before you die. Look at this in verse 27. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. This old timer held Jesus in his hands. Look at this. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to us, who are us Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And so go back when you see that movie again. It's coming around again. And the next month or two, the Ten Commandments will come out. Just remember when Moses was apprehended and he was in the mud pits. That old man is going to die in his arms. And you're going to remember this story. They go, oh, they took that and put it here. But praise God. Because this is a real story. Amen. Look what John 2:11 says. The beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his what? His glory. And his disciples believed in it. Saints, in Christ, the glory of God is meekly veiled, approachable, and knowable. His promises to return is very soon now. How many believe he's coming soon? It's not about the timeline, it's about the sign line. All the signs that we see is all converging now. If you read Matthew 24, they're all here now. 50 years ago, you couldn't put it together. Well, wait a minute. Now they're all here. They're all now. Wars, rumors of wars. There's false Christs, false religions, false prophets. Be careful when you go, oh, there's a prophet over here. Yeah. Some of them will have shenanigans. They'll put games. They'll put stuff on tables. It's almost like witchcraft. It's almost like witchcraft. You got to be careful. Amen? And you know who has tarot type cards? And they do that? Is the Bethel people. They have angel cards. Just like a tarot card. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. It better line up with the word. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
People is always looking for something new to go ooh and ah and be the, and use that as the draw. Jesus needs to be the draw. Can I get amen?
Amen.
If Jesus is not the draw, you're going to find a gimmick. You'll find gimmicks to draw people. Oh, you come to our service this morning and bring your kids and they could win a 10-speed. Oh, yeah, with the smog and the smoke machines and the low lights and candles galore. Make it all, ooh. Be careful, saints. Let it line up to the word. Listen, we're charismatic here at Amazing Grace, but we're not charismania. Can I get amen? We believe in the gifts. We operate in the gifts. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. We believe all that. But you don't see us plucking like a chicken and barking like a dog around here? You know why? Because the Holy Ghost, there's order in the Holy Ghost. There's order. God has order. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Look what Matthew says right here, Matthew 24. Look at this. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give the light. It's light. The stars will fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens will be what? Shaken. Then, look at this. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Has that happened yet? No. But soon and very soon. Look at this in verse 31. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You see, how many believe that Jesus is the light of the world? He's the light of the world. He's what lights up our world. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Because we have to understand that Jesus is the light of the world. John wrote it down right here. Look at this. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of what?
Life.
And let me just say this. I'm going to share this in love to these young ones that are going to get baptized. When your friends that don't know Christ find out? Some will come alongside you. Yeah, I'm happy for you. And then there'll be some that will persecute you. What? Right. They'll even stop hanging with you. Oh, you're one of them now. No, you know what? You say, you know what? I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. And I'm heaven bound, and now there's a hell to shun. And then you tell them the good news, and you too can have this great gift by faith. You too. Give them that option, that opportunity. And if they mock you, do what Jesus said. Look at this, right up here. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. This is the answer. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Look at this in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the light. But finish that sentence. You are the light of the world. Look at this. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Listen. Listen. This is what God wants from each believer. To be bold. Paul said it best. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jew and then to us Gentiles. Amen. When you give your heart to Christ, you got to let people know, guess what? I just got saved. Man, I'm heaven bound now. Hey, you know what? You need to come on board too. You need to give your heart to Christ. You got to let your friends. Listen, I want you to look at this little clicker here. Let's just say this is your life. Okay? God has given you a sphere of influence in your own personal life, meaning there are people in your world that I will probably never meet, and you will probably never meet the people in my world. So God has given you a sphere of influence. Those are the folks that God is saying, go out and touch them and reach them. Tell them about me. Because we've been given the Great Commission. What is that commission? To go into all the world and to preach the gospel. This is why God has raised up Your Story Matters. It's a ministry. Sister Carla, it was birthed in her heart. And when I saw that it was all about the Great Commission, I came alongside that. You didn't have to convince me. I knew that already. We need to get out of our comfort zone. A lot of folks are comfortable in church. But you need to go out and tell someone. Can I get amen? Amen. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them that God can heal them. Tell them that God could save them. Tell them that God could do the miraculous. God could bless their finances. God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. God is the answer to man's problems. And you have to let them know. Can I get amen? Because look what he did for us. We were all Humpty Dumpties who sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king horses and all the king men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. But God put us together. Jesus put us together. Jesus put us together. Hallelujah. Jesus put us together. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Jesus. Hallelujah. He put us together. My goodness. Man. You know, when I hear you guys clapping to the Lord, it's just, it's your heart that loves him. And when you hear God's word, it's true. You start clapping for joy. Why? Because the Holy Spirit inside you is just good. It's bouncing up and down. Hallelujah. Don't you love the joy of the Lord? Amen. Praise God. So look, a city that is set on the hill, they cannot be hidden. And look at in verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. We can't put our head in the sand like an ostrich while the world's passing you by. Oh no. What's that little statue? Hear no evil, see no evil, say no evil. Oh, the monkey. A monkey. Man, get that monkey spirit off you. Come on. Use what God gave you, your mouth. Can I get amen? And speak it out. Tell somebody about Jesus. Look at that. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Praise God. Praise God. So here's the key for us is this. Be filled with God's light. How many need to be filled with God's light? Oh, that's right. You need the power. Every morning when you wake up, oh God, fill me today. I want to be in your presence today. I want to love you today. And guess what? Even if we don't feel him, we still love him. Hallelujah. Even when we go into a desert place, we still praise him. Can I get amen? Because it's easy to praise him on the mountaintop, but can you praise him in the valley? Can you praise him when you only have a dime left in your pocket? Don't see another check coming. Cut off your social security or whatever it is. Losing a job. And now God has left you up to seek him now. Oh, that's right. He'll send the ravens to feed you. He'll put a white envelope in your mailbox. Huh. Quick testimony. About 3 years ago. Yolanda and I, it was during the 2008-2009 crash, remember that? Oh, yeah. And savings got depleted. And we just said, we're going to trust God. And Yolanda used to tell me, don't worry. God's going to take care of us. She would always be the encourager to me, right? Because, you know, me, I'm like, help me, Jesus. Come on. I'm just being truthful here. Yes, even the pastor worries sometimes when he shouldn't. And so we heard the mailman dropping the mail in our basket. She went in there, got the mail, and there was a white envelope in there. It had a pre-stamped thing on it. And then she opened it up, and it said Wells Fargo. And then she opened it up more fully. There was a check for $3,700. They when we refied years ago, they did their accounting and they shortchanged us. And we go, oh my. We just like, she looked at me like. I said, yes, dear. And we were praising God. Oh, come on, we were praising God. Our bills were met, and groceries were put in the cupboard and the refrigerator. That was God. That was God. Listen, don't give up praising God, even in the desert, even in the valley. Can I get amen? Be filled with God's light. Look at what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. We're coming in for a close. Look at what he wrote. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. You know what he's saying there? The unbelievers that die in their sin, the wrath is going to be upon them. Nobody wants the wrath of God upon them. Look at this. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are what? light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. Look at this in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them. There's going to be some folks in your life that's still going to have filthy mouths. They're going to want to still hang with you. Some of them are going to show you their true colors. You know what? Bible says come out from among them. Listen, you cannot change them. All you can do is share Christ with them. Plant and water. But there are times where you have to just make that top, that separation. You know what? I can't hang with you no more. Because you bring filth to my mind. All you want to do is curse my God now. You know, the ones that go bleepity bleep, and then Jesus Christ, it's like your fingernails on a chalkboard. Look at this. And have no fellowship with it. This is God's word. This is not Pastor Fee. I'm not telling you how to run your life, but I'm telling you what God is saying. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Look at that. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Man, a lot of them got some secret stuff. My goodness, look at this. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. It's like shining a bright light. You know, God shined his bright light on us. And he showed us our sin. And we melted and ran to him. Some run away. Look at this. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you what? Light. Light. And I'm closing with these verses here in Revelation. Because he's going to be the one that's going to light up this whole world. Let's go to Revelation. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I missed a scripture. I believe I did. Yes, 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1:19. Look at this. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the what?
Dark
place. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but the holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. All the prophets that spoke in the Bible, you can adhere to, you can embrace, because they will come to pass. Be careful on these false prophets. You go, there's all kinds of prophet over here, prophet over there, prophet over here. And they'll give you a word and like, what? It never comes to pass. That's a false prophet. And so, here's what we're calling. The Lord will be our everlasting brightness in eternity. How many can't wait for that? Huh? How many can't wait for that? I'm going to end with Isaiah and Revelation, and then we'll close. And then we're going to pray for these two precious ones that are going to be... Let me just say this. For some of you that have to leave, I get it. But remember when you got baptized, people hung out for you. It won't take long, but this is important for them. Let's be there for them. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And praise God, it's not going to be midnight on the coldest day of the year. I got a phone call. Oh, it's Katarina. Pastor, get your jacuzzi ready. I go, she goes, yeah, I'm bringing. There's two that need to get baptized. I said, oh, awesome. And I was hanging up, but it's so cold outside. And God had to speak to my spirit. Oh, yeah? You want me to make it colder for you? Yes, Lord. I was ready when they came. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the Lord will be our everlasting brightness, what? In eternity. Amen? So look at this. In Isaiah 60, look at this. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. This is a future time with God. Look at this. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor the brightness shall be by the moon that give light to you. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting light. And your God, your glory, your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light. And the days of your mourning shall be ended. How many can't wait for your days of mourning to be ended? No more crying, no more sorrow, no more death. Look at this. And your people shall be, your people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may what? Be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. And I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. And guess what? He's hastening it now. It's coming to a close. And I close with this. In Revelation 21, look at this. But I saw, this is John the Revelator. This is John the Apostle writing from the island of Patmos. Did you know the island of Patmos is a real physical place? We were so blessed, Yolanda and I. We went on a Israel trip. We did a side trip to Ephesus, to Turkey. Then we got on a 4-hour boat ride from the coast of Ephesus all the way to the island of Patmos. And we were greeted there by all these Greek people. And they were dancing and, you know, doing all this. And they gave us a little tour. They took us to the cave where this was written, because there's only one cave on that little island. And they have all kinds of, you know, pictures and stuff, some relics. But that's the place, the island of Patmos, where the apostle wrote this. Look at this. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, no darkness, no more nighttime. Wow. And there shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And that's us in here, right? When you gave your heart to the Lord, guess what He did? He wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life. So once God writes your name in there, guess what? He doesn't have an eraser on the other side of His pen. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We are sealed until the day of redemption. Maui, Vincent, God's going to write your name in the Lamb's book of life by giving your heart to Christ. Geronimo, Vicky, that's what God did for you. That night you came at midnight.
As for a schedule change, if you wouldn't schedule your change.
I said, no, come on, bring them, bring them, bring them. I think everything was frozen, but it was okay. God is good.
God is great.
And so, let's pray and go before the Lord. Father, we thank You. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you, God, that you are a consuming fire, the brightness and the glory. One day, we will see you face to face. We will be changed, and we will be like you. It'll be a glorious moment, one that we can't even comprehend right now. But God, we look forward to this. I believe it's going to be sooner than later. You're on your way to take us home. And I'm praying right now for those who may be here or those who are watching on YouTube right now. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been contemplating. Maybe you've logged on maybe for the first or second time. And maybe, just maybe, you're saying, man, I need to give my heart to Christ. I don't want to get left behind. I want to know that my sins have been forgiven by Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that God will do the miraculous in your life. So let's all pray right now and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Is he worthy? Oh, come on. Is he worthy? That's right. He's worthy. And we love the Lord. We love God in this place. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.